All right, I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on. All right, Brennan, take it away.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go.
Thank you. He's going to start thinking he's a preacher. Yeah. Come on. He's going to start thinking he's a preacher and he's going to demand twice as much money than we're already paying him. It'll all go to his head. Not good. But I dared to go there. Yeah, I know. We already did that. So today's reading from the Gospel according to Matthew is really about an impossible dream. Oftentimes in the Church of England, when there's a new bishop, somebody from the BBC goes and sees the new bishop and they say, "So, Bishop, what do you think about the virgin birth?" And so if the person says, "Well, I believe fully in the virgin birth," then the BBC tells everybody what a crackpot this person is and that they can't be trusted with the affairs of the church. And if they say, "No, I think it's all a metaphor," then the BBC says, "This person doesn't even believe in the will of God." And yes, they're a heretic. So it's a bit of a darned if you do, darned if you don't question. But it wasn't for the gospel writers. The gospel writers were very clear that the virgin birth, the miraculous birth, was in fact God at work in the world. And more than that, what they said was this: why wouldn't you believe in the virgin birth? What everybody knows, and perhaps more importantly, what I know about myself, is this: that every day I get up, I begin to make a mess of my life, right? And I can go through the sins and all of the ways in which I make a mess of my life. And if you ask me to somehow figure out how that I was going to get out of all of my man-made troubles, I would say, well, there's really only one way. There's only one way out of this hole I keep digging, which is, of course, God's grace and God's power to do things that I myself cannot do, and quite frankly, nobody else in the world can do. And so, to say that we believe not only in the power of God, but also the love of God, and also the capacity of God to care about who we are, is to say that of course God can have a baby be miraculous. And in fact, it's this dream, this impossible dream of me being healed by God, and not just me being healed by God, but all of us being healed by God in ways that we could not even imagine. If I were to write the story of salvation history, it would involve far fewer virgin births and lots more pizza. And quite frankly, that's selling the story of salvation short. And this is the rub. If it were all up to us what grace looked like, we would paint our picture of grace to be really small and inadequate to the task of redeeming us and bringing us back into communion with God. And so, at Bible study this morning, Sandy Peake asked the fabulous, fabulous question: "So, Father Robert, do you think that anybody still has these crazy dreams like Joseph? Do you think anybody has a crazy dream like Abraham? Do you think anybody has a crazy dream like Mary anymore? Or are all those dreams that God gives his people over?" And what I said was, thankfully, Every night before I come to church on Sunday morning, God comes and gives me some crazy vision or dream or word to hang upon. The good news is not that God's story happened long, long, long ago. It's that God's story started long, long, long ago and is still happening right here today at Holy Cross and out in the world in ways that none of us could imagine or plan or design, far beyond any of our capacities to ask for what we think we need. Right. Now, if I were designing grace, what I would design is that, of course, we're getting back to you, Gordon, that the Bears would win against the Packers every year. But that's a small dream of grace, isn't it? Perhaps a bridge too far even, right? Now, on the flip side, if we were to go around demanding from God that God gave us the grace that we wanted, right, as I said to you, Virginia, right, if we demand God give us things, is it grace anymore? No, it's not grace. It's something else. It's like we're holding God up at a convenience store saying, give me all you got. Here's what I want. I want 3 packs of Marlboro Reds. I would like a little thing of cheap liquor, and I'd like a few lottery tickets. And that's what I would ask for God. And yet what God says is this: how about you and I dream an impossible dream? How about we go to a place where none of us could ever imagine we would go just on human brain power? How about we go where the dream of God takes us? And that's really how Matthew is starting his gospel. How would you like to go on the impossible dream? How would you like to go to a place that is far beyond our capacity to ask for? At the beginning of the gospel of Matthew, it begins with an account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And right there, what we know is this, is that even though God is dreaming an impossible dream with the birth of Jesus, we also know that this dream of God has been long in the making, that this dream not only begins with Jesus, it begins with David, it begins with Abraham. In fact, it begins with the creation. And what Matthew is saying is, hold on to your hat, because we're going on a wild ride here, a ride that none of us could ever imagine by our own selves. God is going to take us on a wild ride in and through Jesus Christ. And he says this: if you want to know what God is doing in and with and through Jesus Christ for you, the first place we got to start is with the covenant that God made with Abraham. And when we understand what God was doing when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans and made promises in the covenant with him, what we will find is that something awe-inspiring and so much greater than any of us could ever imagine. And so we get this long genealogy, but this genealogy begins with Abraham, father of Isaac. Now, Amber, what was the birth of Isaac like? Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a crazy birth?
Was it
an unexpected birth? Was it a birth that was mind-blowing to both Abraham and Sarah?
She was like 100 years old.
She was like 100 years old, and he was like, I don't know. He was like older than Methuselah, right? And he said to God, there's no way, God, that a child could come from me and Sarah, because we're way too old and she's barren. And God said, guess what? I made everything. I created everything. And not only that, but I redeem everything. And if you think it's too small for me, you've got the wrong picture of who I am. Because Because Sarah having a baby and you having a baby is nothing, because human limitation and human barrenness is not where God resides. God resides in the abundance of God's creation and love for us in ways that none of us have really ever come to terms with. And he says, Abraham and Sarah, stop laughing, because you're going to get something so far past your imagination. And so the story of Jesus begins with a child given in crazy, unexpected, and even unasked for expectations. And so, what is offered in this covenant? Well, a child, an heir, but not just a child and an heir. We're going to get a whole nation. We're going to get offspring in ways that you couldn't even imagine. More than the sands of the seas. In other words, more than the human mind can even imagine. And not only that, but you'll get blessing, Abraham. And not only that, but you'll be a blessing for others. And not only that, I got one more door. Not only that, but I will be present with you. Where you are, I will be. Now, if you look at salvation history, you might say that's ridiculous, because they had to go to Egypt, and they had the terrible Pharaoh over them, and they were whipped and beaten, and they had 40 years in the wilderness, and crazy things happened to them. And then they were taken into exile into Babylon, of all horrible places. All these crazy, horrible, awful things that nobody would design for their life happened to the Israelites. And God says, and I was there with you. Now, as we said in Bible study this morning, just because terrible, awful, horrible, strange things happen to you doesn't mean that God is absent. It just means that God might be present in ways that you would never have asked for. Jack, where are you? How has this year been for you? Uneventful? Just kind of, you know, regular day-to-day stuff?
A bit of a challenge,
right? And what did we say? How many friends have you found out that you had through all of these bits of challenges? More than you can count. Maybe like the children of Abraham, right? All right. And in fact, he said to me, not only have I found that the friends that I had were better and more profound than I ever imagined they could be, but I found out that I had friends that I never even realized. All because he received something he never would have asked for on his own. And hopefully it never happens to him again. Or anyone else. And so, what Matthew is saying is this. The good news given to us in Jesus Christ began long before this miraculous child was born to Mary. And that even though crazy, strange, weird, painful, difficult things happen to God's people, God has always been there. End stop. And so, our protagonist in today's reading, Joseph, finds out that his to be betrothed, Mary, is already pregnant with a child, as we hear from the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if any of you know Jim Gaffigan, but he does a kind of a skit like this. He says, imagine what it was like when Mary said to Joseph, I am pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Right. And it says that Joseph was a righteous man. And it says that Joseph did not want to disgrace Mary and did not want to send her out publicly, but wanted to dismiss her privately. And yet, here was Joseph's plan. I've been made a fool of. I will dismiss her. I will get rid of her quietly, privately. But I've been made a fool of, and I'm going to get rid of her. And yet, in the midst of his confusion and probably just wondering what the heck just happened to me, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, this is all God's work. Even the stuff you can't understand now is all God's work. And this child has come about by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this child that you can't fathom in your mind, this child you're going to adopt and bring into your family, into your genealogy, into all of the craziness that has happened to you and your ancestors. You will invite this child into your life. And not only that, but this child's name will be Jesus. And you will publicly announce that this is the child's name. Now, Jesus means Yahweh saves. And that's a beautiful name, and that's a name, and it's a title, and it's a job description. And yet, two lines later, what we find is Matthew quoting Isaiah 14, which we heard in our first reading. And he says, behold, a virgin will give birth to a child named Emmanuel. Now, if you're like me, you will see that Emmanuel is not the same name as Jesus. That the prophecy calls for a child to be named Emmanuel, not Jesus. And yet, what we know about the covenant, going back to Abraham, is that God's work of salvation, of redemption, of calling his people back to him was about God being present to God's people. And not only being present to God's people, but loving them and calling them to be a blessing for others. And here is the covenant being made writ large in the person and flesh of Jesus Christ. Okay, you people haven't done a very good job of being with me. I've been with you the whole time. But guess what? I'm sending my son in the flesh to you. And whether you like it or not, he will be with you. And where he is with you, I am with you. So God with us is also Yahweh saves. When God is with us, Yahweh is saving. Yahweh is redeeming. Yahweh is loving. And so what Matthew is saying to all of us, now when you read this story, when you read this crazy story, and you read a story of Jesus healing the blind, healing the leprous, curing the sick, feeding the hungry, raising the dead to new life. When you see that happening, know that that is God with us. And not only is it God with us, it is Yahweh doing the work of salvation. Just remember, this whole story I'm telling you is an impossible divine dream of love and salvation and healing. And that there are no accidents in God's economy of salvation. And that you are not an accident. And that you are not an accident. And that you are not an accident. And that all the pain and suffering and tedium that we go through is not useless and just something to push aside. It is where, in fact, the very providence, love, and grace of God resides with us. Not on accident, but by the very will of God. And so, even though that story started long ago with a crazy covenant to a guy in the Middle East, somewhere where Ur of the Chaldeans is, calling him to go to some crazy place he'd never been to before. And even though he called his people out of slavery into wilderness, there he was, fulfilling his promises in the covenant. And even though Joseph couldn't have ever imagined that God was in charge of what was going on, he was called out and blessed in ways that he could not imagine. And I look out at all of you. I look at me in the mirror. My frailties, my brokenness, my sinfulness, all the ways that I'm stuck to the ground. And I think, isn't it amazing that God has called us into the impossible dream of us being with him, of us being redeemed in that love, of his son being with us? So that story might have begun a long time ago. But just like Jesus was adopted into the story of Joseph, you, my friends, are adopted into Jesus, and thus adopted into that crazy long story of promises. And God's saving grace and God's presence is being poured out upon us even here today. Amidst the craziness in the world, amidst the craziness in our own heart, mind, and soul, amidst the craziness of all the ways in which we find ourselves sideways with God, our neighbor, and ourselves, God is with us. And that is the good news today. Amen.